Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Crystal Barrett O'Loughlin, who's speaking to us from Laguna Beach, California. Crystal is CEO of Rare Givers, a nonprofit organization that provides emotional support to caregivers, patients, and professionals in rare, chronic, and complex disease communities. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Lovely to be here, Larry. Hello.
Let's hear about your organization. Tell us a little bit about it, please.
Absolutely. So Rare Givers is a nonprofit global network that is working every day to bring compassion and relief to the individuals and the professionals working in the rare disease community. We recognize the need for support groups, for wellness and well-being and self-care training, and really just finding a way to break through all of the chronic stress that comes from living with a rare disease, caring for someone with a rare disease, and working in the field of rare disease.
So what is your connection to rare disease in general?
Yes, well, I actually have a fair amount of lived experience. So I was born into the Barrett family, the youngest of five children. And three of my four older brothers were eventually diagnosed with mucopolysaccharidosis type 2, also known as MPS disease or Hunter syndrome. So David, Jared, and Randy passed away at 12, 18, and 19 years old in the 1980s. And I can tell you that the caregiving element, all of us from me, the youngest, all the way through my older brother, parents, grandparents in our broader community, the caregiving element was unmanageable. It was unimaginable, really, how difficult it was. And it ended up breaking apart the marriage of my parents. I do have a Hollywood ending for you on that. But I've witnessed firsthand the emotional distress that comes from the medicalized lives we live in Rare, and that's why we founded Angel Aid and eventually rebranded to Rare Givers this year.
Could you explain what you mean by medicalized lives?
Yeah, so when life gets medical, people get emotional. And what I mean by that is we have this sort of expectation that, we take our health for granted. We take healthy children for granted. We get married. We put all of our hopes and dreams on building a family and hopeful that the babies will be born normal and that we will all have individually long lives. And at some point, for many families, in fact, 350 million families around the world, that reality is shattered. And it becomes very clear, this awareness settles over you or someone in your family that something's not quite right, either from birth or in childhood or in adult onset rare diseases. There is a noticing that there are some sort of symptoms and things aren't quite right. And then that puts us into this medicalized life cycle where we're searching for a diagnosis. And, you know, we've heard so much about, on average, 5 to 8 years to get an accurate diagnosis, and that most rare families will be misdiagnosed, you know, on average 3 times through the course of their journey. And every moment of that journey is anxiety inducing. It's a cycle of hoping and then grieving what we thought was going to be the answer, what we thought, you know, our experience in life was going to look like. So that's what we mean by medicalized lives. It's not just a treatment or a clinical trial or symptom management, but it's also the emotional impact on those experiences. And fairly often we tend to ignore the emotional side and we tend to jump straight in on, you know, the doctor's appointments and the triage list of things that have to happen to manage these diseases. but it comes at a huge cost. If we don't address our emotional needs, if we don't get the care circles around us, we don't recognize that we need to be caring for ourselves.
Okay, so we understand that since 2000, Angel Aid, which of course is now rebranded as Rare Givers, has been leading a meta-study of published research, proprietary data, and documented lived experiences that clearly define the emotional impact on medicalized lives. Can you please explain about this meta-study, what it entails, and how this will benefit researchers and clinicians who conduct clinical trials in rare diseases?
Absolutely. So we realized early on that we could not provide emotional relief to 350 million families as a single entity. It was critically important that we invite other stakeholders, including hospital networks, our pharmaceutical industry partners, mental health resources and networks like NAMI, Mental Health America, and others around the world. It was important that we work together to document first the emotional impact on rare families. So we did a published research meta-study where we aggregated all of the research that has been published, and we identified 267 pieces of published research on the emotional impact on rare disease families. Through that process, we honed that to 65 research studies that were truly relevant to this emotional journey that families and professionals go on with these families. And we used that published research to inform the development of a tool. It's called the Rare Givers Emotional Journey Map. That single piece of paper is steeped in deep research, and we've actually been presenting the Rare Givers Emotional Journey Map at poster abstracts across the country and around the world. We presented at World Orphan Drug Congress, at World Symposia for Lysosomal Storage Disease, at the Rare Summit, and others. So we developed the tool in an open source format where anyone could go and download the tool. If you go to raregivers.global, you can step yourself through the journey map, but you can actually download the journey map and you can download the guidebook that we developed based on this research.
Okay. And I wanted to ask also, because there are so many patient advocacy organizations out there, and at the beginning you did mention NORD, the National Organization for Rare Disorders. How is your organization different from these other patient advocacy groups?
So we are very complementary to any of the patient advocacy groups that are out there. NORD joined the Rare Givers Coalition because we had developed the meta study. We had developed tools that were based on research-backed evidence of the need for emotional support. And so when we released these tools, they were released through their partner organizations that helped develop the tools, Global Genes, NORD, we're working with Euroritis, we're working with Indo-US Rare, we're working with the Epilepsy Foundation of Australia, with Casa Hunter down in Latin America, and FDDN organization. We have Remember the Girls as part of the coalition to represent the carrier point of view, the Ehlers-Danlos Society, and National MPS Society, who has been informing much of the thinking over the years. So all of these organizations have an opportunity to take advantage of these tools and supplement the emotional services that they may be already providing. Most patient advocacy organizations are under-resourced, and they need to focus on the triage list. How to manage symptoms, how to get connected to the experts, how to get awareness around clinical trials, how to get insurance claims covered, right? And going into emotional support services may or may not be part of what that patient advocacy group can provide. We have also found that when we bring together families and professionals in forums that are disease agnostic, there's an opportunity to set the disease at the door and step into the emotional impact of that disease. How are you feeling about managing those symptoms? How are you feeling about working in the field of rare disease? That's a really different mindset than kind of the fix mindset that most of our organizational partners are forced to be in, right? There's a hierarchy of need, and emotions often get pushed to the bottom.
Right.
So we're living only in emotional well-being.
How is your group funded? Do you have some assistance either from the pharmaceutical industry or from health-related organizations, or is this completely donor-supported?
Yes. No. We are funded by all stakeholder groups. So we do have partnerships with various different pharma industry partners. We also receive funding from our patient advocacy group partners. You do not have to be a paid member of the coalition to take advantage of the tools or to use your volunteer expertise to improve the services that we provide. So there's a volunteer element to this. But for those paid partners, there are opportunities to have your logos on the journey map and the tools that we're publishing out to be called out during press releases and to be kind of our go-to speakers bureau, and also to have an expert from Rare Givers come in and speak with your community, either in a webinar format or at a family conference, or in the case of pharmaceuticals, we come in all the time to talk to the employees about how to improve and sustain their own emotional well-being as they're doing the hard work of science, as they're doing the hard work of clinical trials, and distributing medicinal treatments, and also just the basic science itself. You know, these are long-term investments, and we want to help the community sustain itself emotionally on a global basis.
Wonderful. We've been speaking with Crystal Barrett O'Loughlin, CEO of Rare Givers from Laguna Beach, California. Thank you so much for your time. This is Larry Luxner with Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.